Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Building, maintaining, and sustaining mutually satisfying relationships is really one of life's most challenging experiences. In fact, building a relationship is a lot like putting a puzzle together. There's so many pieces to it that you have to get them all arranged and then realize that this is a big, big puzzle. The other thing is that you have to have a picture in your mind of what you want the relationship to look like, how you want it to be, not only in the stages where you're putting the puzzle together, what it looks like when it's half completed, and what is it going to look like when it's finally done. The other part of it, why relationships are a lot like a puzzle, is you can't force the pieces together no matter how hard you try. And then the last part of it is it's hard to stay interested in the puzzle when all the pieces aren't there. Interesting way to start the show. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is one that I'm sure that we can all relate to. And even if we wanted to commiserate over from the standpoint is how do we build a better relationship? Hard for me to even get the words out. How do we build a better relationship? One that is mutually beneficial and mutually satisfying. And as we know, it's a lot of give and take. And sometimes it feels like one person's giving more than the other person. So it really is a very dynamic process to be able to keep the relationship intact and then also building in a way where both people are getting their needs met. So what I'm going to be doing throughout the show is I'm going to be talking about relationships and the role that personality plays in the fact of how our relationships develop, meaning the expectations we bring into it, because we all do. And then also what happens when you deal with someone or you're married to someone or partnered with someone who is different than you? How do you handle those times when you don't see eye to eye? And then I've always said to a lot of my clients is, you know, we can choose our friends, but we can't choose our family. So how do we deal with those difficult members in the family? So those are all the different things I'm going to be sharing today, but I'm going to be doing it under the guise of the personality, because that really is the integral part that really, really determines that predictable, observable behavior of who we are. Also, at the end of the show, I'm going to be offering some suggestions of what you can do to make your interaction with difficult people less difficult. So on top of all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So I hope you will give me a call. You can call me at 877-230-3062, and I can share my medical intuitive skills, and we can talk about health, or we can talk about relationships, or we can talk about a topic that really is causing you to feel compromised to some extent, to the point where you just don't feel yourself. So lots of information we can cover in the calls. Again, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, and also good for international callers. So what is the very first step in our building better relationships? Well, it basically begins that we have to know ourselves. It begins with us. We have to really understand what are our basic needs. How do we think, meaning how do we gather information and how we make decisions? Because those aspects of personality is going to determine how we see things, how we interact with people, the words we use to communicate, and how we're going to be able to reach a situation in the dynamics of a relationship where we don't feel compromised and both people get what they want. So it begins by that old mantra that the ancient metaphysicians in many of the mystery schools and also in Greece and Egypt and throughout the world, all the ancient metaphysicians have said that everything in life, to understand it and to be able to create what you desire, begins with know thyself. So I want to start with a very quick course in what I call Personality 101. First of all, personality is twofold. There is literally, and I know from my research and the 28 years I've been doing it, is there are two parts of personality. One part is inherent, meaning that it's literally part of your genes. It's what tells your brain how to gather information and make decisions. And while we can expand our consciousness, expand our horizons, learn more about ourselves, be able to fit in this world, the bottom line of it is if you gather information by the use of your five physical senses, meaning if you don't hear it, touch it, taste it, smell smell it, feel it, then what is going to happen is that you will not believe the information that's coming to you. Now, on the other hand, if your personality is one that you don't really rely on your five physical senses to prove to the you that it's real, but you get what I call vibe mails, or you have intuition or ESP or whatever term you'd like, in that particular process, you're going to be more inclined to read those nonverbal cues that people send you versus the words that you hear. Now, that's very defined. That is something in your neurology that's part of your survival. And no matter how much you expand, how you came in hardwired in the brain, that's not going to change. If you trust your instincts over what you can touch or you can see, then that's the way your life is going to be driven. And even though you try to go to the other part, you're still going to rely on your inner instincts. The second part of personality that is also part of the genetic predisposition in how we are hardwired in the brain is, how do we make decisions? Some people make decisions based on logic. They look at the situation, they evaluate the data, they look at the details, and based on what they gather in that process of getting the information and how they use it, they make a decision logically. Emotions do not play into the decision making. Now, on the other hand, if you make decisions based on emotions, meaning that decision has to feel right, then you're going to use that as your barometer to decide what decisions you're going to make. If it doesn't feel right, you're not going to engage in it. And when you do, the minute that you make the decision, even though it doesn't feel right, what's the first thing you experience? You get this inner voice that says, oops, shouldn't have done that. So it's very important when we look at personality is to know thyself, is how do you gather information? If you're in the five physical senses, your information is going to be very linear. It's going to have to be tangible. It has to be factual. It has to have details. If you make decisions, you gather information on your instincts, then there's going to be a randomness about it. That doesn't mean that it isn't accurate, just a randomness. And then again, in the decision making, that really is where we start getting in to the expectations we bring into relationships. Because if your personality is that you make decisions based on emotional judgment and having to feel right, and you're partnered with someone that's logical, it's going to take you longer to make the decision feel right than it is for them to make a logical decision. So right away, we have a tension there. The logical person sees it one way. The person who makes decisions based on emotion sees it a different way. So that's the first part. Then when you actually start taking this neurological wiring and you look at the different patterns in the brain and how people gather and make decisions, there's actually four different personality types. Now, I teach personality by color, and I am Jungian trained, so I have a background in Carl Jung's work. I also cut my teeth on the Myers-Briggs. I've done a lot of research, and all of the instruments that are out there are of great value, and the Myers-Briggs is, but the Myers-Briggs does it by letters. And the reality is, about 30 days after you do the assessment, somebody will say to you, so what are your letters? And in most cases, you don't remember. So I went in and I used color because it's a common language that we use. We're feeling blue, we're red with anger, we're green with envy. All of these things, we have words that really tell where we are emotionally and psychologically. Plus, it's a common language. So in my world, these four different personalities, meaning how they gather information, make decisions, are red, orange, yellow, and green. And I can tell you from all the years' experience, it's a lot easier to say to someone, boy, you're really being a red, instead of saying to them, you know, you're really being a control freak. Because what that can do is it can cause you to be compromised, it can put them on the defensive. And now what do we have? We have a conflict situation. And the reality is, anytime conflict rears its head, whether it's just a minor little skirmish or a full-blown war, the bottom line is the power struggle, nobody's really going to win. And what's going to be the residual is hurt feelings. That isn't building a positive, healthy relationship. So again, red, orange, yellow, green. Now, if you don't know your personality color, you can always go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the tab at the top that says personality. There's a mini assessment on there. Just respond to the statements and voila, you'll become a personality color. Now, while it's got accuracy, please understand that it isn't the full long version that you can get in my books. your personality, your health, what colors your personality, love, what's personality got to do with it, or managing people. Those books actually have a full assessment, 60 statements. And what those statements do is it talks to the brain to ask the brain to identify how do you gather information to make decisions. That is the foundation for everything that you do. So again, you can go and take the short version, or you could order my books either through Amazon.com, HayHouse.com, or even through your local bookseller. And then what you can do is you can start by really knowing thyself from the standpoint of knowing your neurological hardwiring, because no matter how much we expand, when we get under stress or we feel compromised, it's going to be this neurology that's going to drive things that you say and how you interact with other people. So I want to start, I'm going to break this up in the segments in the show, but I want to start out with a basic description of the red and orange personality, and then also how do you relate to them. So the red personality is conservative, traditional, controlling. In fact, the word control is a very favorable word to them. If you say you're controlling, they think that you paid them a compliment, because without control, there's chaos, and a red cannot survive in a chaotic world. There's too many loose ends. So they're controlling, they're practical, they're stubborn, and they're very factual oriented. If you say something like, for the fact that the whole world is doing this, what they're going to do is they're going to immediately discredit the whole world doing it. And they may come back to you and say, well, how many people in the world are doing it? And that can create a conflict situation. So for the red, the facts and the details are very important. If your inclination is not to fill in the blanks because you assume they're going to understand what you're saying and talking about, you've got the potential for conflict. They want to stay with what's tried and true. They don't like change. The only time that a red will actually engage in change is when it's their idea. Now, you may have planted the seed that it was, you know, an idea that was yours, but by the time a red gets around to acting on it, it's their idea. So if you have any kind of issues around an ownership of an idea and you're with a red, you're going to get your feelings hurt, and there's going to be a power struggle. They're also logical and objective, and they focus on task. Red personality are task-oriented. They are not people-oriented. They expect immediate results, and they measure on the bottom line. The red does not look at the effort that you've put into it. They just want to know what it is, when it's going to be done, and they want it done in that period of time. The thing that irritates the red the most is when people waste their time. So how do you relate to them? So to relate to a red, you're direct and you avoid emotional outbursts. The minute you have an emotional outburst, the red will stop hearing anything you say, and they will discredit everything that you do say. Be clear about what you want from them, and then give them deadlines. Please don't expect the reds to be able to read your mind. They don't do that. If there's something, and especially if you're partnered with a red and your birthday's coming up, you need to tell them your birthday's coming up, and you need to tell them the date of your birthday. Now, especially as women, we don't think we should have to do that because we're so busy doing everything for them, they ought to remember our birthdays, but they really don't. That's a fact. It's the way, it's not information that is imperative at the time that they're dealing with something. So you have to say to them, it's my birthday, the date it is, and then tell them what you want for your birthday. And if you want to really ensure if the pattern is where you're with the red, tell them not only what you want, give them website information, tell them the store, tell them the color, tell them the size, tell them how much, and make it as seamless as possible for them to feel good about getting you what you want, but not coming in and buying something that you look at and you think, now why would I want a set of tires for my birthday? For the red, things are practical. Set of tires from their standpoint, if your car needs them, it's a great birthday gift, but from your standpoint, it won't be. Be prepared for their blunt approaches. Be prepared that there's going to be a power struggle. If there is a power struggle, the way the red is in being competitive is you're going to lose. And they're going to be competitive to the point until they belabor the point, or they can raise their voice and intimidate you to acquiesce to whatever their desires are. But for a red, a power struggle isn't the same thing it would be for a green. For a red, it's just trying to hammer out the facts, hammer out what the bottom of the objective is going to be. So for them, it isn't really a negative at all. But for other personality colors, it is. When they're blunt, and they're telling you something that won't work, then what you have to do is you have to be prepared if you believe that it will. then you have to be able to stand up for that. Don't surprise them with money matters and don't waste their time. Reds are very frugal. If you're going to spend their money, tell them beforehand you're going to spend their money. You can tell them that how much you've spent after the fact. If you tell them how much you're going to spend, they will immediately start challenging you. So you want to avoid that. Now, on the other hand, the orange personality is very emotionally sensitive. They're very caretaking, very caregiving. They're very cooperative, very gentle. They're peacemakers. They're very people focused, and what they want is they want an environment that is calm, stable. They're patient. They want a relationship that is has a lot of loyalty to it. They're also very dependable and cooperative, and they look for those same qualities in their relationships with others. What they really want is they just want everyone to be happy and to get along. What they'll do is they are one of the few personalities, in fact, the only personality in reality, that will actually put other people's emotional needs before their own. One of the greatest challenges for the orange is to be able to express themselves emotionally. They don't want to create the potential for conflict. If they feel safe in doing so and they express themselves emotionally, the person they're expressing them to, please be an active listener, be participating, not thinking about what else you want to do. When you ask them questions or you interact, do not have a condescending tone in your voice at all. Because the one thing about the orange personality is they're very kind. They will give you one time chance. They will give you two, but they will rarely give you three. If you cut them off, if you dismiss them, then what they will do is they will suppress their emotions. And then you won't know what's happening until you're sitting at a dinner table with a bunch of friends and the orange starts to talk. And especially if you're a red, you're going to think, I didn't know you were doing that. So again, ways to be able to work with the personalities. For the orange, it's very important for them to have a harmonious environment. Oranges measure their self-worth, their self-esteem based on the quality of their relationships. If their relationship is good at that moment, for a day, for a week, for a month, they're good. If the relationship becomes surly or it has a lot of tension in it, then they're not good. And then they can become very aggressive. They can become passive aggressive. And then what you do is by the change of behavior, you know, we really do have a problem here. So again, what I want to do is I want to share that. Oh, I do need to go in. There's one more important thing. Oh my goodness. I really need to share this for all of the personalities in dealing with the orange. They need to be appreciated. Now, what does that mean? You don't go around and you don't say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've done. But you know, when they've done something for you, maybe they picked up the cleaning or they've done something thoughtful or they cook your favorite meal or they remember a birthday or they remember what you said a year ago that you want for your birthday. You know what? All you have to do is say, thank you for thinking about me. Thank you for being who you are. A simple thank you and a job well done, and I appreciate your sensitivity. They're a personality that will just turn themselves inside out. They really want their life in order with their relationships to really have a lot of sense of calm and love and bonding and a mutually beneficial relationship. So a simple thank you goes a long way for the orange. So that's very important, and I really needed to be sure to add that. Okay, let's go ahead and jump in now and take calls. I'm going to come back and I'll finish out the other two personalities, the yellow and green. But let's go ahead from Pat from Connecticut. Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. I'm thrilled to have connected with you. Thank you.
I think I must be
an orange.
You know, from just the few words that you have said to me, I would agree with you.
And also, this is so appropriate what you're talking about, because I literally am at a point where I lack confidence in my decision making and intuition, and this is why I'm calling you. I'm wanting to adopt a dog. I just lost my most incredible dog partner. And there's one I'm looking at named Ruby Red online. I can't, you know, check her out because she's in Illinois.
Right.
And a couple of people have mentioned possibility of something with her shoulder. I want to make sure she's healthy. I can't afford vet bills.
Exactly. Well, I can tell you her name resonates with you.
It does.
The breed resonates with you.
Yeah.
excuse me for the silence here for all the listeners. It's like, hello, is Carol there? I'm just going in and I'm asking permission to go in. You know what I would do, sweetie, is I would ask to have a vet report based on the first thing that I pick up is I can't really pick up a shoulder issue, but I do pick up a joint socket issue with this particular breed of dog, whether it's in the shoulders or it's in the flanks itself. And one of the things that you might want to do is you might want to ask for a vet request, and a breeder will be more than happy to do that or to be able to supply you information about the shots and about what the vet has said about the dog. This particular dog, I really, truthfully, I would love to say to you that I can go in and I can touch the dog. I cannot from the standpoint of the shoulder issue, but I can tell you that there is a predisposition. It feels almost for dysplasia of some kind. And that's something that I would look at. And not so much this particular dog, but just to find out more about this breed to be sure that this isn't something that you want to look at. Mm-hmm. You feel to me with the dog is not only does it have to be just kind of like a bed buddy, it feels like, you know, one that you can really have around you all the time, but you feel like you like a dog that can walk and be able to go with you and have a right. kind of an active life and everything. So I would just go in, the Ruby Red, the dog, the breed, the everything resonates, but I would just do a little more research on what the health issues are and ask if there was any kind of vet certificate that was done.
This was rescued from a kill shelter. So the only thing that they will do is at this point is just get her spayed and shots, and that's it. They can't invest any more money.
Okay, so let's take another direction.
Thank you.
Go and do some research on the breed itself.
Okay.
Go do some research. Yep.
I've had coonhounds for 18 years and never had that problem. This is a red bone hound, which yes. I don't think is much different, but it may be.
It's just the whole thing that I'm picking up is you don't have enough information, and especially since you said you don't want to get a dog that's going to have any kind of health issues because of the money, I would go in and do the research. Google it,
okay.
Find out what it is. You might even call your local vet and ask them, are there any health issues or predisposition? Are there any kind of joint issues or dysplasia or anything? How about the spine? Or is there any kind of spine issues? Because even though they're similar, they're very different, and each breed has kind of their own place. So I would do that. But I can tell you right away that immediately the name is like, oh, my gosh, this name is so you.
But I don't – what does that mean?
That just means that that dog has a personality about it that you're looking for.
Yes.
And whether it's this dog or another dog, what I picked up with that name and the personality you're looking for, that's as important for you as whether the dog's going to be healthy.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you very much. Hi, Margaret from Colorado. How are you?
Hello?
Hello. How are you, hon?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. Are your trees turning?
Yes, they're beautiful.
I love your state. Anyway, I'm sorry. I had to do a tree check. So how can I help you?
Well, for the last year and a half to 2 years, I've been having difficulties in all my personal relationships and find myself quite isolated and would like to understand this.
Okay. So let's see. I'm going to, I'll take it first of all from personality, and then I'm going to go the woo-woo direction. From a personality standpoint, the point that you are in your life, you're getting at a place where you're really evaluating the relationships in your life. You're sorting through. It feels like you're in kind of what I would call a transition time. You're taking stock of all the relationships you've had, and it's almost like you're creating a list of all of the different people that have been in your life, what you're looking for in a relationship and what you've learned that you don't want a relationship. I don't really see this as a negative time. I'm not picking up a depression with you or anything. It's just part of this 2010 the energy about resolve is that you can continue, sweetie, perpetuating relationships and having lots of people in your life, or you can find that you're going to create relationships in your life with people that are going to offer you what you're looking for while you're offering them what they're looking for. The other thing is you're doing a lot of emotional release work. You're getting rid of a lot of deep emotional hurt that you've experienced over the course of time. In the last year, well, actually it would be 3 years, and then in this last year, it feels like you're dealing with a lot of betrayal issues with people that have been in your life. That's a very healthy place to be. It may not feel good, but it's a healthy place to be so you can evaluate what you're looking again from relationships. The other thing is that now I'm going to go the woo-woo part. The other part of it is that we create what I call agreements. Carolyn Mace talks about these agreements. Other people, Brian Weiss with his work, there's just a lot of things we create agreements. There are actually two different kinds of agreements. Sacred agreements. These are agreements with people that come into our life, whether they're people that's just a superficial interaction or people that we actually have a deeper interaction with or a deep interaction. Sacred agreements are twofold. They're either shadows or they're archetypes, Joseph Campbell's Jung work. Shadows will always show us what in ourself we need to look at in order for us to create the change to become illuminated or enlightened about what we want out of life. The archetype is the agreement is with when we're in a situation with someone, we can't do any wrong. Everything is good. They're our cheerleader. They are our supporter. They will be there for us in thick and thin. The shadow dancer, as they were called in the ancient writings, those are the ones that I don't care what we do, it's not going to be right. Then there's another agreement called a pre-birth agreement. And these agreements are really difficult because we never quite know where they're going to be. They're extremely fickle. In that fickleness, one moment, as my mom used to say, we can be the best thing since sliced bread, and the next moment, we can't do anything right. One of the things I can tell you, sweetie, is the last 5 years of your life, you have been calling in pre-birth agreements. The people that you've called in that have been a part of this sense of betrayal that I'm getting, there's a part of you that knew some level that you probably shouldn't have engaged. That was your intuition, but it was part of the process. You didn't do anything wrong. In the pre-birth agreements, you've surrounded yourself with a lot of people that no matter how hard you try, you couldn't seem to do the right thing. Now, the gift of that, Margaret, is that in a pre-birth agreement, those are the people, as difficult as it is, that really teach us the most about us. What do we want from a relationship? We don't want fair weather friends. We want people primarily that we can trust and that are truthful. The people that you've brought into your life, if you were making up your list as I touch your heart of the people you want in your life, the first thing on the list is trust. And the second one is truth. And everything else is academic. These people you called into your life so you can become strong. You can become strong enough to call the people in your life that you desire. Now, I also need to tell you, as I touched your energy, something shifted maybe 5.5 months ago. I get between 5 and 6 months ago. Is that you moved out of a place of this transition of figuring out what you want and you don't want. And you actually you're sending out this vibe mail that you are looking for someone that you literally can partner with, someone that you can share your life with that will be willing to do their work and you not have to shoulder it and carry the burden of it. That vibe mail has already been sent. So whenever your heart is open, that person is going to come into your life. I don't know what the timing is because I can feel it's kind of like the Motel 6. I can see the light go on and the light goes off. The light goes on, the light goes off. The other thing is that are you considering moving, honey?
I would like to, but I can't.
Okay. Can you do a road trip? You need to change the scenery.
Potentially.
You know, it doesn't have to be a long one, just, you know, something that's a long weekend. You just need a change of scenery. I can feel the heaviness in you. Are there three relationships that you're struggling with right now more than any of the others?
Yeah.
Okay. They're all pre-birth agreements, sweetie.
One in particular.
Yeah. All three of them are pre-birth agreements. The gift of them is that you've reached a place where no matter, you're tired. You just, you know, you're asking, do I want to put enough effort, put as much effort into it? But these three are pre-birth agreements. Out of this part and this one that I can feel, especially the heaviness, because you told me that and I could connect. That one, honey, is time to let it go. It's time to let it go. It cannot sustain itself, nor do you have the energy to sustain it the way it is right now.
But
now,
it's my daughter.
I know it is, sweetie. I know it is. What that means is that let's see if I can do this. Go in and rethink what being a mother means based on the age of your daughter. Your daughter is making decisions that are part of her life path. They're part of what she came here to work on. I know as a mother to a mother, that is so difficult for us to even comprehend at that level, because we just can't imagine that all the time, you know, that we've loved this person, that these things can happen. But this is this child's life path. And when I say child, I understand that she's a woman, but I can tell you that this is a little girl inside that's still acting like an adolescent, that is just hasn't quite grounded herself in this world. And reevaluate what it is to be a mother. You know, you can love her, but you cannot, maybe you don't like what she's doing. The second part of it is that she's under someone else's control. And the reality of it is you don't have control, sweetie.
Well, thank you. That's helpful.
So, you know, and you've instilled very sound values in her. You have always been there. You will always be there, but it'll just be different. So, but it will work out. It will work out. Let's put it this way. When I say that, I need to be very, very clear. It will work out what is best for you. And that's important with this pre-birth agreement. See, you have an agreement with her, honey, that you show her all of her beauty and all of her strength. That's an archetypal agreement. She has a pre-birth with you. You never know where you stand. So if that resonates true, then go back, step back, and evaluate it and say, you know what? No matter how hard I try, it may not be enough, but at least for me, I need to keep trying. But try to where you don't get at the short end of the straw, where the blunt of everything comes back at you. This person that is in her life has a tremendous amount of control over her. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. Gold stars to you.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much for calling me. Okay, what I want to do is let's take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back. I have a couple more people on the line. I am going to take some more calls, so that's absolutely fabulous. So stay tuned, because I'm going to come back and talk about the yellow and green personality colors and how can you build better relationships with them. Thanks for joining me.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. internationally renowned medical intuitive, Carol Reitberger, is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
And thanks for joining me. If you are just joining me, I'm your host, Carol Reitberger. And what I've been talking about today is how can we build better relationships? And I'm really doing it from the perspective of personality. And one of the things that I've learned and over the course of all my years of working in personality is that really, while it appears that people are trying to make our life miserable, the reality of it is maybe they're a different personality color. And in fact, they don't see things the same way we do. They don't gather information the same way, and they don't make decisions the way we do. And the reality part of it is, if we make decisions emotionally, they have to feel right and they make them logically, or vice versa, what's going to happen is they're probably not going to be the right decisions. Right decisions from the logical person or right decisions from the emotional person. So we have to really figure out, how do we deal with that when we're mated with someone that is different than we are? And you know that old cliche, opposites attract? Boy, is that the truth. The old cliche that love is blind, that's the truth. Once you get through that initial courtship and you start really learning around about someone, then you'll start to remember your friends will say to you, are you sure you really want to get into that relationship? But while love is blind, everything is wonderful. Now, once you understand the differences in personality, what that means is the irritations may be there, the conflict may be there, but what you can do is you can step back and realize through the vehicle of personality is that they are just different than you. Those differences bring into the relationship the expectations we have around the people that we interact with. Then you add the dynamics of our teachers around relationships, and especially close ones, which are our parents, which may be opposite personalities, or they may be personalities that are different in some way. And what do we have? We have all these distorted perceptions and expectations around what relationship should be. That can be with our children. It can be with our friend. It can be with our loved ones. It can be with our family. It can be with business associates. You know, it's learning to deal with people who are different than we are. I am taking calls. I have a couple of spaces still available. So if you have a question for me, I'll try to get through as many as I can. You can actually call me at 877-230-3062. I also would like to let you know that my September Your Health Teleclass audio and printable PDF are now available for purchase. Because September was Prostate Awareness Month, the topic of the teleclass for September was prostate cancer. You can actually purchase the PDF or the download on my website at www.ritberger.com. And then also a new feature that we've added is to try and see, or try before you buy, as we call it, is that there's 18 different illnesses that I share how as a medical intuitive I look at them, both from the physical, conventional perspective, that clinical perspective, how I look at it psychologically, how I look at it energetically, the illness maps and the chakras, the role of personality, and then I offer how it's treated and diagnosed from a allopathic standpoint, conventional medicine, and then a laundry list of alternative choices. So a lot of information is provided not only in the audio part of the teleclass, but the PDFs as well. So if you want to try before you buy, you can go to my website, www.richberger.com. Click on teleclass. You'll see a drop-down menu that's teleclass archives. Then you can pick and choose which one of the 18 different illnesses you're interested in. Listen to it. View on the PDF a preview page. If it's what you want, then you can purchase it right online via PayPal. So prostate cancer, this was a very informative teleclass, not just because of the information, but I shared a lot of the new research that really changes the way that we look at prostate cancer. So if you have a father or a brother or a husband or a family member or a friend, whatever it is that's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, oh, this new research adds so much hope, because now we realize that prostate cancer has three different aspects to it. One is called low risk, and in fact shouldn't even be called prostate cancer. It should be called a chronic condition of the prostate. And so even in the diagnosis has changed, the treatment changes accordingly. With low risk, then it's more of a what they call active surveillance or a wait and see. So very, very hopeful. So if you have any men that have been diagnosed, this can provide them this hope and this understanding. And my desire in creating all of the information is to merge research with the scientific history of it, and then that holistic perspective from the standpoint that we have a well-rounded perspective so we can eliminate a lot of the conflicting information that's there. So again, if you're interested in purchasing or you just want a preview, you can go to my website, www.richberger.com. So in the first segment, I talked about the red and the orange personality and how they, typical description of them. Again, you know, it isn't my intention to ever pigeonhole a personality or to make them feel like they're boxed in. I have to give that disclaimer because the green personality march to their own drummer. They're very reluctant for any kind of categorization. That's one of the reasons I chose color instead of labeling them with names. But one of the things is that when we look at neurology, all personalities are very predictable. And so I looked at the red and the orange. And then also, so let me jump in now and let's talk about the yellow personality. They are logical, analytical, and they're solution oriented. They're deep thinkers and they focus on objectives. What that means in the deep thinking is if you pose a problem or a problem becomes a problem in a relationship, the yellow is going to have time to think about it. As a result, when you share the potential for conflict or there is conflict, they are not by nature going to jump in. Excuse me. There must be a message there as a yellow personality that I'll need to think about, because that's the way the voice works. It lets me know you need to think about this, Carol Reitberger. But for the yellow personality, if I'm in a situation with conflict and it's emotionally charged, then I'm going to lose my voice. I'm going to cough. I'm going to choke because I need to think about it. That's my way of saying, my body saying to me, don't do knee jerk, because if you do, you're going to be sarcastic. You're going to have a condescending tone in your voice, because that is the way in a conflict situation. As yellows, we protect ourselves to basically buy ourselves time. Or if we don't say anything, we give you that look like, oh my gosh, you will die. And in that process, all we're doing is giving you the warning signs to say, you know what? I understand the problem. I understand where you are. I understand you're upset, but I do need time to be able to think about it. We like challenges. We not like new ways of finding things to do things different. That's the way we are in the relationship, is that we're always trying to find ways to reinvent it. A relationship that becomes status quo really becomes very boring and redundant. It's very easy for a yellow to check out from the relationship. They're still there. They're still the protector. They can still provide, but they're just not emotionally engaged in it. They are also very opinionated and very judgmental, and they have high expectations of themselves and people in the relationships. The yellows expect you to solve your own problems. If you try and you can't, then you can come to us and share the problems. Out of all the four personality colors, the yellow is the most difficult to deal with in relationships. And part of the reason for that is the yellow, we have commitment anxieties. And what that means is we're not going to open up completely to the point where we're going to leave ourselves vulnerable to other people's opinions. We have to give how to relate to them, give them time to think, don't press them to make immediate decision, be respectful and courteous, do not talk down to them, don't expect them to share their emotions or to discuss emotional matters, be prepared for discomfort and ambiguity, and little need for the affiliation with others. Greens, creative, easygoing, spontaneous and adaptable, social, playful, enthusiastic, and agreeable. Those are all the words that describe the green. They want to leave a favorable impression and they want to have fun. Their relationships must be fun. If it becomes too serious and the fun goes away, then the green begins to lose interest. They love to experience new things, try different foods, go new places, and they see life and their relationships as being one exciting experience after another. How do you relate to the green? You approach them informally and you ask them if they want to join in an activity. They love to do things. You allow them to verbalize their emotions. They wear their emotions on their heart, their shirt sleeves. If they start sharing their emotions, do not interrupt them. Do not try to fix them. Use humor and be friendly. Call them by name. That is music to their ears. Do not refer to them in an impersonal way. One of the things that reds do all the time, both male and female, they will say, my wife or my husband or my partner or my spouse. And the partner and their husband or their wife or whatever could be sitting right next to them. And in a group, they will say to people, my wife does this or my husband does that. And it's like if it's a green that they're mated with, the green will look at them and say, excuse me, I'm sitting right here. And besides that, my name is, and they will do that because that just grates on the green itself. So use their name and then also express how much you appreciate them. Also, what you want to do is you need to tell them that you love them. You can say to a green, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, like a hello, goodbye. That is music to their ear. They really, really enjoy hearing it. Just don't let any kind of condescending tone get in your voice, because the minute you do, that beautiful green that's easygoing, mild manner, cooperative is going to turn into this personality that you don't know what happened. When they start using the four-letter word and that's not love, you've gone too far. They're very easy to predict. So a little bit of humor there. Most important thing is if you have to criticize a green or you feel it's necessary for you to do, start out by saying to them and sharing with them how much you appreciate them, how much you love them, and then ease into anything that has a critical charge to it from the standpoint that they will be open and receptive. If they don't, they're going to grow the second head, and all of a sudden you're not going to know who you're dealing with. All they're doing is just buying themselves time. Okay, so let's go in. Let's jump in. I've got one last thing. I will close down the show, but let's go from Denise from California. Hi, hon. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning, Carol. Pleasure
good
to be
morning.
With you.
Oh, thank you. How can I help you?
Well, I have an interesting situation with, mostly with energy balance. I am an energy worker, so I, mm-hmm. you know, with the journey we partake within ourselves. And
excuse me for laughing. Can I relate to that one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew you could. And it's just, oh, my goodness gracious. Quite a bit more than I had originally visualized. Let's just put it that way. Wonderful one. I wouldn't trade a second for it. But it's very deep and it's very, very thorough. And, of course, we bring up stuff that we didn't even know existed as well as the stuff that we know does to a whole new level. That being said, of course, being in the 18th year of menopause doesn't help the matter any. And you spoke of the green personality. I was laughing. I think I'm a combo, but I'm definitely a green base.
Yes, you are, darling.
I surely am. But what I'm finding that I'm really battling with, Carol, is that I do a lot of healing work. I have been graced with more learned healers that have worked with me, and the problem is holding it. Now, with the adrenal system being out of whack, obviously balance is very hard to hold on to anyway, in the physical sense as well as in the emotional sense. And I'm getting a little bit lost because the actual healings, although I know that they're based in our own choice, I seem to really struggle holding that healing in place, holding on to that balance. I ground a lot. I set the intentions a lot, but yet physically, I really don't feel it. Or if I do, I can't hold it for more than, you know, a little while. And honestly, I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how to work with this. I've gone medical. I've gone holistically medical. I've gone internally. I've gone in, you know, I feel lost because everywhere I go, I don't seem to find the answer. And it's really beginning to hold me back.
Yeah. So let's go in. I'm going to start out by giving you a healthy mapping by personality using chakras. Any time that you go from being of service to being someone's servant, and that can be varying degrees, it happens without us being aware of it as healers and so forth. The minute someone becomes in control to whatever that means, then you are going to experience it in your chest area, in your shoulders. That is the origin site. That's where your soul comes in and tells you and uses your body as a barometer that where you are is where you are, but there's a degree or an element of compromise. Your soul will take you into the healthy mapping. It will take you from that fourth heart chakra up to the sixth chakra. So you will use your intuition to be able to discern, not judge, but discern how much of you to give in any situation. And this means with other people. You will use your intuition differently. You'll be able to see things in a more holism perspective other than what you've learned, what your wonderful teachers have taught you. It's time for you to take and sort through what your teachers have taught you, what works within your protocol, what truly is authentically you as a healer. They've given you great tools, lots of words, lots of things, but you have your own medicine bag, sweetie, and that's what this is about. Your intuition can tell you, if you wanted to look at your different tools, do you need this now or should it go into another medicine bag? When you go to your intuition, you drop down into second chakra. That's where you hold human emotions. That's where you try to please. That's where you get caught up in that servant role. And when I say that, I need to tell you with great love, I say that to you, and with great love, I say it to myself. There are many of us that are doing this work, that are tired doing this work, and we can't figure out why, because it is our work. But we get caught up in that conditioning that desires to please, that desires to be able to be a real difference maker in the world. So you go from 4 to 6, drop down to 2 to relate in your world with your relationships, and then the cycle ends by going to 4. That's your healthy mapping. 4, 6, 2, 4. The people that you've been drawing in, honey, has worked for you tremendously. But 18 months ago, your practice started changing. Now what you're doing is the people that are there are showing you that it's time for you to rise above, move beyond, become authentic become authentic in that joy, that compassion in the work that you do that you've touched before. But when you get in the unhealthy mapping, you go from 4 to 4 to, you're like a dog chasing its tail. You're spinning around in circles, and that takes a tremendous amount of energy, and it drains the fatigue. Drains the adrenals, puts them in fatigue. We're kind of like the Ever Ready Bunny. We never shut down. Now, the hormone part of it and the 18 years of being in the other part of the postmenopause, absolutely. Absolutely, that plays a part. But you've tried all these other modalities. You've tried all these things. What I just want you to do, sweetie, is go in this ebb that you're in right now. Lay low. Look at what you do. Look at what you love. Look at the changes you've made in your life and people's life. Go through your medicine bag. You know, it's kind of like a purse. Every so often, we have to clean out the debris that gets in there along the way. I really believe, Denise, that's where you are, sweetie. If you can just lift that burden off your shoulders and take those babies off your hips. everything's going to change, sweetie. Everything's going to change on you.
Is there a point where, you know, it almost feels like there's resistance to that, and yet, you know, I'm inward. I'm very inward. I'm very homebound. I've been, instead of falling to everyone's concern about that, I've finally learned to allow myself to honor that. If I need to be home and I need to, you know, lay low and I need to kind of hang out with me, there doesn't have to be something wrong necessarily.
Absolutely.
In other words, you know what I mean?
I do.
So it's kind of a back off, let me be.
Yeah.
And it's okay for me to do this, because if I don't honor it, I'm just going to get sicker.
You know what? And I've only got a minute, sweetheart. So let me, if I may, just jump in. You're honoring exactly where you need. Your adrenals are tired. Give them what they need. Give them some joy. Give them some happiness. Look at some cranial sacral work that would be able to help you as well. The thing is that you're not being put out to pasture, honey. You're just being, you're resting for this next shift of consciousness and what people need. And the work will be authentic. Maybe you don't need to be in someone's presence. Maybe you can do it energetically. There's a whole bunch of things I pick up with you. So where you are, sweetie, is exactly where you should be in this process, Leno, and then find a way. I just want to go in and I just want to hug you, and I just want to pull this weight off of the center of your back. And I just want to say to all these little beings that you carry so lovingly, this compassionate warrior, I just want to say to them, you know what? This horse is a little tired right now. And you know what? You need to go find another horse. She'll be there. She'll do the thing. I just need to get you off of her back. That's what I keep picking up, sweetie. I'm sorry to have to cut you off, Denise. Thank you for the call, honey. And I tell you, I can relate, and so many of us that do this work can. All of you, thank you for your listening for me today. I'm going to be back next week. You can listen to this show in the archives. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.